I'd like to speak today on how the rest was won. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and it's a story of how the people of Israel have been arguing against God and provoking him, complaining and murmuring. And their complaint this time was, is Jehovah going to take care of us or not? That's in verse 7. And then the story picks up by saying, and now the warriors of Amalek came to fight against the people of Israel at Rephidim. So Moses instructed Joshua to issue a call to arms to the Israelites to fight the army of Amalek. Tomorrow, Moses told him, I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua and his men went out to fight Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hands, Israel would win the battle. But whenever he rested his arms at his sides, the soldiers of Amalek began to win. Moses' arms finally became too tired to hold up the staff any longer. So Aaron and Hur rolled a stone for Moses to sit on, and they stood on each side, holding up his hands until sunset. As a result, Joshua and his troops crushed the army of Amalek, putting them to the sword. Then the Lord instructed Moses, write this into a permanent record to be remembered forever, and announce to Joshua that I will utterly blot out every trace of Amalek. Moses built an altar there and called it Jehovah Nissi, which means Jehovah is my flag, or Jehovah is my victory flag. Moses said, raise the banner of the Lord, for the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. So let's look at the background story to the lead up to this battle that Israel had with Amalek. Well, as I said, Israel had been complaining continually that God was not looking after them and no longer with them. There are at least 10 major incidents spoken of where they provoke God this way, with this kind of complaint. And God had acted from heaven every time to either show himself as their saviour and provider, like crossing the Red Sea, feeding them with manna, all of these things, or to bring judgment upon them for their rebellion and unbelief. So in this story, the complaint that Yahweh was not with them and not caring for them came just at the time when Israel were going to be attacked by another nation, the nation of Amalek. And this was Israel's first experience of warfare. They were untrained, never fought a battle. And the place was called Rephidim. Rephidim means the land of rest. That's why I'm calling this sermon, How the Rest Was Won. Moses was told by God, take his staff, hold it up to God from on top of a mountain, overlooking the battle down there in Rephidim, and he would see Joshua prevail in the battle. Now this staff that Moses had to hold up, God first spoke to Moses about this at the burning bush. It proved to be a symbol of the faith and authority that God was giving to Moses to show that God was with him and would do mighty works through him for the salvation and provision of his people. At that time, God said to Moses, who was a shepherd in the land of Midian, what is that in your hand, Moses? Which meant, what is that that you have within your grasp, your God-given ability to do with your life as God would have you to do? That's what it means to say to somebody, what is that in your hand? In other words, what is there for you to do with your hands, to put yourself to work, to bring the results that God wants for your life? So in this story, what God says to Moses, he is saying to all of us. God then told Moses to throw that staff to the ground, and the staff turned into a snake that chased Moses, who fled from it because he was afraid of snakes. Then God called Moses to turn around, take up the snake, and the snake became the staff of authority again. God says the same to us. Let's look at this. When Moses let go of the staff of his faith and authority in God, he invited the serpent in to come after him to overcome his faith. The snake. From the beginning, the snake or the serpent speaks of deception and temptation and sin. Fear takes over instead of faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 to cast aside that sin that so easily besets you or that's always hanging around to get you or ensnare you. It's called the besetting sin in the book of Hebrews, and it's driven by some kind of fear. Moses appears to have had a fear of injustice that trapped him into having to get justice done in his own emotional strength, his own way, driven by his own sense of injustice, instead of having faith in God to work justice. There are other kinds of fear. People have recourse to other things that drive them, like if they have a fear of rejection, they will try too hard to be accepted, or a fear of failure, they will work themselves crazy to try and achieve results rather than allowing God to be at work with them. So there is something in their hand to do, but there can also be a shadow side to them that gets in the way when they try to do it in their own strength. So Moses fell into this trap about the fear of justice, I believe, or the fear of injustice. A number of times in the Bible this happened to him. The first time was 40 years earlier when he killed an Egyptian because of the injustice being done to his fellow Israelites as slaves of Pharaoh. He went out and killed an Egyptian. And the Israelites said, "What are you trying to do? Trying to save us? You're going to get us into trouble. Things will become worse for us now." This actually got Moses into a lot of trouble, and he had to escape and stay in hiding for 40 years in Midian, where finally God came to him at this very time at the burning bush. When I say this very time when God speaks to him about that staff in his hand. But he turned. What Moses did, when he threw that rod, that staff down on the ground, he turned. In other words, he repented. He picked up the snake by the tail, and the faith and authority returned. So God said, "Throw it down," it became a snake. God said, "Pick it up," and it became a staff again. So there was an action needed to be taken and a turning around to be done. Moses was instructed to use this staff of faith and authority to perform all the supernatural works in Egypt when he turned the rivers to blood and he brought the plagues and the judgments upon Pharaoh before Israel were set free from Egypt. It was that staff of faith and authority that Moses held over the Red Sea. And it was the staff that he used obediently to bring forth life-giving water from a rock and a supernatural act of life-giving provision of the water was given to Israel because they were complaining again that they'd been brought out here to die of thirst. God provided. And now the staff is the staff of faith and authority that would win the battle for Israel against Amalek at Rephidim. Let's have a look at this battle. Moses had instructed Joshua to lead Israel in the battle, and whenever Moses held up the staff, Israel, under Joshua, would overcome Amalek. But when Moses lowered the staff of faith and authority, because his arms became weary, then Amalek would start overcoming Israel. Aaron and Hur supported Moses' arms and allowed him to sit down so that the staff of faith and authority kept Joshua in a winning position. Now, this is an illustration of the power of prayerful intercession from those who support one another in times of spiritual challenge and warfare. Aaron was Moses' brother, and Hur was the son of Caleb. These were both men that were faithful to the purposes of God for God's will to be done. So Moses could put his trust in them. Now, we can uphold our brothers and sisters as an Aaron and a Hur. And we can know that we are being upheld as a Moses by them also. I expect to be upheld by my brothers and sisters in this way, just as I expect of myself to be effective for my brothers and sisters in upholding them. That's the picture. Because in this story, God is speaking to us and saying, you are the Moses here. So let's read on. Now let's look at Joshua, because this is the first time Joshua is mentioned in the Bible. And he is seen as the one who leads God's people in this battle and saves and overcomes for them. They wouldn't have been skilled soldiers at this stage, but it was the skilled leadership of Joshua and the faith of Moses in raising his staff to heaven that released the supernatural victory through Joshua, or Yeshua, which is another way of saying Joshua, which means Saviour. And this is also another way of saying Jesus. In the New Testament, we say Jesus. The Old Testament name for Jesus was Joshua. So this is how our faith operates. We, like Moses, take hold of our authority of the faith that we lift up to God. It's interesting that Moses seems to be the first one that raised his hands to the Lord. He really started something then, didn't he? I would say that's a good thing to think about when you raise your hands to the Lord. I'm lifting up the staff of faith in my authority in you, Lord. That thing that you've placed in my hands that can work through my life, your power, and your invitation to have me to do your will. So we can lift that up to God for him to be with us and to care for us and to provide for us and for those we pray for. And when we do that, our Joshua, Jesus, is released in our hearts and goes into action on our behalf, just as Joshua would win the battle down in the plain of Rephidim when Moses held up the staff of faith and authority in God. So what was this conflict about? Well, as I said, the battle was to win the territory of Rephidim, the place of rest. And that speaks to us of winning the place of the rest of faith in our hearts, knowing that Jesus is doing the fighting for us. When Jesus goes into action on our behalf, the power of heaven subdues all things on the earth that would try to prevent God's will from coming to pass. Our faith is that Jesus is at work on our behalf to bring about the Father's good will to us and through us. So who was this enemy coming against God's people? Amalek went into war against Israel. Now, Israel was the nation that descended from Jacob. Jacob, who wrestled with God and wouldn't let him go. And in fact, whose name was changed to Israel. So Israel is Jacob. When his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, that name meant power with God. Amalek was the nation that descended from Esau, who was Jacob's brother. So here we have the twin boys, Jacob and Esau. They began in conflict as they came out of the womb of their mother. And Jacob grabbed a hold of Esau's heel. He wanted to get there first. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that Esau was not interested in the things of God, but in the things of the world. But Jacob values the spiritual blessing of God, and he received the blessing that Esau could have had. They were both destined for blessing, but the firstborn would get the blessing of Abraham. Jacob was determined to get that blessing, and Esau didn't seem to care much about it. And this brought them into constant conflict. That conflict meant that Jacob even had to flee from Esau because he knew that Esau was after him to get him. That's this battle, and now Amalek is after Israel to get them. God is referred to in the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm saying that because when you see a trinity like that, three things, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that speaks to us of the Trinity. Abraham speaks of the Father, Isaac the Son, and Jacob speaks of the Holy Spirit. So now let's see how this works within us, with all of us. We have the conflict of the Esau side of our nature that trusts in the things of the world and wants to go after them. And the Bible calls that the flesh. And we have the Jacob side of our nature that values the spiritual blessing and goes after that. And the Bible tells us that our old nature of the flesh is always fighting against our new nature of the spirit. It says that in the book of Galatians. And that Jacob side to us, the spirit side of us, we being joined to the Lord, are one spirit, through what Jesus has done for us, dying on the cross, ascending into heaven and releasing the Holy Spirit to us, we now have that Jacob side to us as the Spirit of God releasing our Joshua, our Jesus, to go into fight for us. So this is the battle plan that wins for us the place of rest, our Rephidim. We, as the Moses, hold up the staff, what God's put in our hands for our faith and for our place of authority in the Lord. And then in the place of battle within, in the conflict between the Esau and the Jacob, the flesh and the spirit in us, the spirit in us, our Jacob within, releases our Joshua, our Jesus, into the battle. And that brings us into the place of rest in our hearts and our minds and in our souls, our Rephidim. Now, the final part of that scripture I'm going to read again. It says this: Then the Lord instructed Moses, write this into a permanent record to be remembered forever, and announce to Joshua that I will utterly blot out every trace of Amalek. Moses built an altar there and called it Jehovah Nissi, meaning God is my battle flag of victory. Moses said, raise the flag of the Lord, for the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. Now, God is saying that this is very significant in the sense of from that time, God is wanting to place on record as a permanent record that there will always be a war between Amalek and Israel. In other words, the flesh and the spirit. That is a direct parable of instruction for us to find our place of rest through Jesus. Generation after generation. Now, one day, when we see the Lord face to face, there'll be no more sin and temptation. The snake won't be there to slide in and to get us to miss the mark and tempt us to do things in our own strength. One day, the old creation will have passed away and the new creation will have finally come. There'll be no more death, no more sin, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. But until then, we're in this battle of Rephidim every moment of our lives. Please don't just see this as an interesting story with some fascinating parallels between an Old Testament real-life event that did happen with all of those characters and our New Testament entrance into the rest of faith through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is not just some Bible study to file away. This is the living out of the gospel, the working out of our salvation to be who God wants us to be, where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. God wants us to be fully conscious of this at all times. That's why he said, make a permanent record of this. You will either be taking hold of your faith as the staff that God's placed in your hands to do his will in your life, or you're going to be being chased by the serpent who'll try to confuse your mind, emotionally trouble your soul, and weaken your will, and seek to get you to miss the mark in your faithful decision-making to take you forward in life. You'll know when the serpent is after you. It'll be in the way I just described it. And that's when you turn around with faith and courage and pick that cunning thing up and lay hold of your faith again. We're living in times when many, many people being confused, finding that things are too hard, things aren't working out the way they should have been, the temptation to do what Israel did, to even murmur, to complain. So why aren't things turning out exactly the way I wanted them to? God wants to make you part of the answer, to have you on top of that mountain, to be lifting up your faith, to be seeing down there the battle being won. Because as you do that, remember that you're upholding your brothers and sisters, not only as a Moses being upheld, you are being an Aaron and Hur upholding your brothers and sisters. You are the Moses, and you are also the Aaron and the Hur. We are both. And when we are upholding one another, when the weakness and the weariness of our humanity bears upon this one or that one, we will know that we are seeing Jesus at work and our faith is being outworked and God's will is being done in the world in which we live. Our world will be changed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you all. Amen.